Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans chapter 8. Page 1201 in your Schofield Bible, and we'll be reading responsively verses 1 through 9. Romans 8, verses 1 through 9, page 1201. And let's stand, as is our custom to do. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And let's read verse 9 together. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for a wonderful spring program. And now we pray that you'd bless concerning all the results of that. The results are eternal. We pray that you'd bless now and knit our hearts and minds together concerning the purpose of this night. We pray that as our preacher preaches, you'd certainly give him of thy power. Bless, we pray, the hearing of thy word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, what blocks you from the Spirit-filled life? What blocks you from the Spirit-filled life? Our Heavenly Father, we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Not a suggestion from you, a command. Not a recommendation, but a command. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. We're commanded to walk in the Spirit and not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Not a recommendation, not a suggestion, a command. I pray tonight you'd help us to get closer to that Spirit-filled life, that life of walking in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you just a little bit of review to bring us up to the part of the opening of the message tonight. Oftentimes, I've taught on Wednesday night the subject of the land of Canaan. When the Israelites left the land of Egypt and marched toward the land of Canaan, finally, after 40 years, they marched over the Jordan River and into the land of Canaan. I have told you that that does not represent death. We sing on Jordan's stormy banks, I stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. We equate the Jordan River as a type of our death, but isn't so. We also equate the promised land as a type of our heaven. I'm bound for the promised land. We sing, when I come to the river at ending of day, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. And so we equate the Jordan River and the crossing of the Jordan with the children of Israel to death. Likewise, we equate the land of Canaan to heaven. But that's not so. The land of Canaan does not represent heaven. The land of Canaan represents the Spirit-filled life. And the Jordan River represents our death to self and our rising to walk in the Spirit of God in a Spirit-filled life. Don't forget that. When I mention Canaan tonight, I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about the Spirit-filled life. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the saddest things in fundamentalism today is the fact that you hardly can find a fundamentalist that literally walks in the Spirit. Almost unheard of. I mean, you'd have a tough time finding a dozen of them. tonight, if you begin to look real hard, you have a hard time finding people that walk in the Spirit. I mean, we walk in the flesh. Some would be what we consider sinful flesh, but there's no good flesh. The Bible says there's nothing good about the flesh. But we're too concerned about eating and drinking and buying and selling and marrying and giving in marriage and picnicking and partying and having fun and what kind of house we have, what kind of furniture is in the house, what kind of clothes we wear, what kind of car we drive. We're too concerned about that. But you females are too concerned about being pretty, and you males too concerned about being handsome. We're too concerned about self, as I said the other night in the sermon. We're too concerned about our thinking good of ourselves and a good self-image of ourselves. We're too concerned about that. We're almost so far away from the spiritual Christianity. We're almost nothing more than second class psychologists, and as far as I'm concerned, all psychologists are second class. But anyway, it's time that somebody told fundamentalists that there's a Holy Spirit. It's time somebody told us that we can walk in that Spirit. It's time somebody told us that what we eat from this book is more important than what we eat from the table. It's time somebody told us that wearing a robe of righteousness is more important than what we wear from the men's or women's shops in town. It's time we got more concerned about feasting upon the Word of God than partying and picnicking. I'm not criticizing picnicking. I'm criticizing the excess in which we do it. I'm criticizing the excess of our concern about materialism and possessions. Not about the Spirit-filled life. So when I mention Canaan tonight, I'm talking about the Spirit-filled life. Now, let's go back for a minute. Follow me carefully. When the Israelites came to the land of Canaan, as they approached the land, both on the first time, before the 40 years, and also after the 40 years, when they approached the land of Canaan, before they entered into the land, they were met and blocked by five wild nations. Don't leave me. The Amalekites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Edomites, and the Ishmaelites. These five nations blocked the children of Israel from the Promised Land. Now, who are these nations? I know if you don't get the next 5 minutes, you won't get the sermon. And so in case you'd like to get the sermon, get the next 5 minutes. The Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites were a group of people born to an Egyptian handmaid named Hagar from an illicit affair with Abraham. Abraham and Sarah were promised a son. They lost faith the son would ever come. Sarah suggested that this Egyptian servant bear a son for Abraham, because that's the only hope he had to have. They had to have a son because Sarah thought she could not have to give birth to a child. So this Egyptian, where'd they get this Egyptian woman? All right. There was a famine in the land. And that famine in the land was so bad that Abraham left the land of Canaan to go down to Egypt because there was plenty there. Now you listen to me. We have absolutely, in our fundamental Christian churches, gone wacky over money. We've gone wacky over jobs. We've gone wacky over prosperity. We really have. We follow the jobs. Now, show me one place in this book that says that. There's not one place in this book where a person went to another country and left the land of Canaan for work. But what tragedy took place? Abraham was more concerned about possession of money than possession of the Spirit. He goes down to Egypt. And because of that little journey down to Egypt and that we lived there for years, he brought this little Egyptian handmaid Hagar back with him. If he'd never gone to Egypt, he wouldn't have met her. there wouldn't be any Ishmaelites. So when the Israelites came, when they came to the Promised Land, they were blocked. When the Israelites came, they were blocked by the descendants of Ishmael, who was the illegitimate son of Hagar by Abraham. So that's the first nation, wild nation, wild people that blocked the Israelites when they came to the land of Canaan. Then there's a nation called the Edomites. They also blocked the Israelites as they came to Canaan. The Israelites were coming from Egypt to Canaan. They were blocked by a wild nation called the Edomites. Now, the Edomites came from Esau. Esau's name was changed to Edom. If his name had not been changed, they'd have been called the Esauites. They were Edomites, meaning red. Esau's name was changed to Edom because of the red soup for which he sold his birthright to Jacob. And Esau was carnal. Now, you said to the house, you think carnality is watching R-rated movies. No, carnality is watching any of the dirty Hollywood movies. I don't care if you go see them or bring them to your house. They're wicked as the devil, and all of it is sensuous and it's carnality. Carnality is not drinking, cussing, and adultery. All that is carnality. But carnality for Esau was a bowl of soup. He's more concerned about the carnal. Esau said, I will trade my right to carry the promised seed of the Messiah for a bowl of soup. I will trade my right to have a double portion of the spiritual inheritance of my father for a bowl of soup. I will trade my right to be the priestly head of my family for a bowl of soup. Now, what is it? Carnality. Concerned too much about what we eat, where we go, what we play. I do not think I've ever seen fundamentalists as carnal as we are right now. I mean, folks that used to be bus captains are now bowling league captains. I'm not against bowling leagues. I am against the kind of Christianity that's more excited about the church bowling league than the church visitation program. I'm simply saying, if the soul winners want to go bowling, bless God. But I am concerned about the fundamentalism in America. That's churchianity. And if you don't, I'll guarantee you, we'll be just like the new evangelical crowd in a few years, unless we stop to realize that we're supposed to walk in the Spirit of God Almighty. But these Edomites, now here come these Israelites toward the land of Canaan. They've got a battle to face. They've got the Ishmaelites that block. The Ishmaelites came from Abraham's illicit affair with Hagar. They have the Edomites blocking them. Came from Esau, the carnality of Esau, with married the daughter of Ishmael, by the way, and the same lineage. Now there's a third group. Not only those possessions, like Abraham wanted possessions, and from the desire for those possessions came the Ishmaelites, and the carnality of Esau, and from his carnality came the Edomites, but there were the Moabites and the Ammonites, and they blocked them. Now here comes Israel toward the Promised Land, and they're trying to go in. And the Ishmaelites say, no way, we'll keep you from going in. And the Edomites say, no way, we'll keep you from going in. And the Moabites say, no way, we'll keep you from going in. And the Ammonites. Now, who are these Moabites and Ammonites? Abraham had a nephew. He took that nephew down to Egypt. That nephew fell in love with Egypt. He came out of Egypt, but Egypt never came out of him. One day, Abraham and Lot couldn't get along with each other. And I'm going to tell you something, too. I tell you, I am so sick and tired of Christian people getting mad at each other because of the dollar. I don't know what to do. I wonder sometimes if anybody left that's spiritual. I really do. I mean, fuss about a dollar. The guy wants some of your money to cheat. Let him have the money. I mean, I spend a lot of my time refereeing fights of people in this church who get mad at each other because of money. Listen, there's not enough of that for a person to fight over. Good night! If you're going to fight, fight the devil! Fight the dirty movie industry! Fight the liquor traffic! If you're going to fight the abortion crowd! You're going to fight, fight the gay crowd. You're going to fight, fight the liberal crowd. Abraham and Lot. He said, I don't like that preaching. Well, you'll just have to do the best you can to put up with it. We don't have menus here. He says, like the army, you just put your tray out and we fork over what I cooked up for you. America's full of a bunch of little pussyfooting, sissy preachers. Mama called and Papa fed and Deacon led. But you won't find one like that here, Buster. You haven't found one like that. I'm trying to tell you tonight that somebody has got to stand up and say to fundamental people, it's time we quit worrying about the almighty dollar. It's time we quit worrying about the possessions. It's time we quit worrying about pleasure. It's time we walk with God and walk in the Spirit of God. So, Abraham and Lot split up. Abraham, God bless him, he said, Lot, I don't want us having any trouble. You take what you want. I like that. Lot said, okay, I'll take what I want. He took what he wanted. He looked down and saw the well-watered plains toward Sodom. He saw the tropical climate. He saw the farms that were beautiful farms. He saw the land that was plenteous in its bearing of crops. And Lot said, that's what I'll take. And Lot chose materialism. And he goes down there and because of it, God, because of the Sodom was full of queers, and I'm tired of us calling them gay. They're not gay. Gay is a mighty good word that's used to tell to denote happiness and joy. And I'm tired of the queers choosing the gay word for themselves. Let's take it back. But anyway, the homosexuals took over Sodom. And God said, I'm going to destroy the city. Lot and his wife and daughters take off to go to a little place called Zoar. His wife turns to a pillar of salt because she looks back. And Lot's there with his two daughters. He has sex with one of his daughters. She gives birth to a baby by her father. Her name is the baby Moab. The other daughter has sex with her father. She gets pregnant. She gives birth to a baby, a boy, whose name is Ammon. Now the Moab became the father of a great race of people, the Moabites. Ammon became a father of a great race of people, the Ammonites. So when the Israelites got to the land of Canaan, they were blocked. They were blocked because Abraham was more concerned about possessions than he was the will of God. Wouldn't have been any Israelites if Abraham hadn't been more concerned about possessions than the will of God. They were blocked because Esau would rather have a bowl of soup than his birthright and his carnality. Wouldn't have been any Edomites if Esau had been spiritual. They were blocked by the Moabites. Wouldn't have been any Moabites if Lot hadn't have been materialistic. And the Ammonites. Wouldn't have been any Ammonites if Lot had not been materialistic. Now this is years later. Years later, here come the Israelites. They're coming toward the Promised Land. They're coming toward what symbolizes a spirit-filled life. And they're coming towards it. And they could have gone right on in if Abraham hadn't gotten out of the will of God. They could have gone right on in if Esau hadn't sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. They could have gone right on in if Lot hadn't been selfish and materialistic and chosen the well-watered plains toward Sodom. But there's a fifth wild race called the Amalekites. I don't have time to go into the Amalekites except to say that they also were descendants of Esau. But they represent the wildest, most lustful people, probably of all of them, and the bitterest enemies of them all. A lustful people. So, now follow me. Here come the Israelites years later. They come to the land of Canaan. And it wouldn't do all of you any harm to listen to the sermon tonight. Wouldn't hurt you a bit. And those of you that are not interested are the ones that need it the most. Now you listen to me. Here come the Israelites toward the land of Canaan. If Abraham had stayed right, they wouldn't have had that enemy. If Esau had stayed right, they wouldn't have had that enemy. If Lot had stayed right, they wouldn't have had those two enemies. And if Esau had stayed right, they wouldn't have had the Amalekites. Basically, ladies and gentlemen, It was not the enemy that blocked Israel from the promised land. It was Israel that blocked Israel from the promised land. Israel created the nations. Abraham, Lot, Esau, and others created these heathen nations. And it was Israel that blocked herself. Now, I'll tell you something. You're not living a life that is not spirit-filled because of obstacles. You're living a life that's not spirit-filled because of yourself, your own desire for possessions. Nobody who's too concerned about making money is going to be spirit-filled. Nobody. How much is too concerned? Very concerned. How much is very concerned? Sort of concerned. How much is sort of concerned? More thought about making money than living in this book. More thought about making money than walking in the will of God. More thought about making money than the souls of men dying without God. I'm simply saying that the things that are blocking you and me from living in the Spirit are self-made things, just like they were in the days of the Israelites going in the Promised Land. They wouldn't have had those enemies, if they hadn't have self-destructed. Let me say something tonight. With all my soul, I cannot say that I've always been this way because it's been with the passing of the years. But for many years now, with all of my soul, the thing I want more than anything else in the world is to walk in the Spirit of God. I'll be honest with you tonight, and I think most of you that know me well know this is true. There's not a thing in this world I want. Not a thing. I want no possessions. Have no desire for them. I want no car or bigger car. Have no desire for it. I'd just as soon live in a little two-bedroom house as a big house. Church built that one. They built a two-bedroom frame. That's where we'd be tonight. Have no desire for that. Have no desire for fame. Have no desire to do anything. And I mean this. I don't want anything. Good night. I've got to face God in a few years. I don't know how long I've got left. I'm 61 years of age. Do I have 20 years? I don't know. Do I have 10? I don't know. But I guarantee you this. All that matters anymore is Jesus and the will of God and God's service. You say, but you're different. Well, but different is available to all of us. I'm not asking you to be at the age of 25, as concerned about spiritual things as a fellow would be who's 61. But I guarantee you most of us need to be more spiritual than we are. Just as possessions eventually kept Abraham from provided a nation that blocked the land of Canaan from Abraham, so our possessions, our desire for things, are blocking us from walking with God, living a spirit-filled life. You know what? You'd be surprised if you knew how your heroes lived. You'd be surprised if you knew the simple life of John Wesley. You'd be surprised if you knew the simple life of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. You'd be surprised if you knew the simple life of Billy Sunday. The preachers that have all the big stuff and are concerned about things, that's the middle to middle size. That's not the giants of the faith. No, no. Abraham, the Israelites come toward the promised land. They're about to enter. All of a sudden, a nation rises up and says, you won't come in. This nation, Ishmaelites, blocking God's people. Why? Because Abraham, the father of the Jews, got concerned about money. He got concerned about a raise in pay. Wherever Sears and Roebuck leads, I'll go. Wherever Montgomery Ward leads, I'll go. Wherever Eastern Airline leads, that's our theme these days. People write me letters from all over America, and they say my company, I got one just the other day, up in a certain town in New England. Said, my company transferred us to New England, and we can't find a church, and there's no place for our children to go for the house. What can we do? I wrote back and said, quit your company. Get out of there. More important, you live in a town that has an old-fashioned soul-winning, hell-raising, barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling preacher who takes some conviction and has some stand, takes a stand, if you get transferred to your company somewhere. You say, well, how's you not being reasonable? It's not me. It's that book that says it. The thing that's keeping us from spirit-filled life are the things that we have built, just like Abraham of old kept the Israelites from getting inside the promised land without a battle. It was self-destruction and not enemy destruction. Then, same thing's true about our carnality. I don't really think anybody much understands this. But we're living too high on the hog. Please don't misunderstand this. And I'm not trying to hurt anybody. But we're spending too much at restaurants. And we're going to too many fancy restaurants. I mean, Grandpa made it real good on a sausage mamaw fried. And the gravy she made from the sausage. And the crackling she made from the skin of the pig that gave the sausage and the gravy. And the soap she got at hog killing time. If I could have tonight, if I could have every dollar that's been spent by this crowd in 1988 at restaurants where the meals cost more than $10 apiece, we could run our buses the rest of the year. We're carnal. Did you ever hear of Big Macs? I've eaten shish kebab. Personally, I'd rather have a cheese quarter pounder. I go to places, and preachers across this country will tell you, I refuse to order any meal that costs over $5. Check the preachers where I go. Where do you want to go to eat, Brother High? And they think because I'm pastor of a big church that I want to go to eat at that place where they don't have the lights on. And all that menu stuff you can't read. Looks like the Notre Dame football team lineup. No, I said, no, let's go to Burger King. Is there a little restaurant around here out the edge of town where the truck drivers all stop for lunch? Take me there. Place where they got the vegetable of the day and the special of the day, $2.95. And the waitress has more than a blouse on. Has a skirt, too. You get mad at me, aren't you? I'm simply saying that's why we're not spiritual. I'm not trying to be unkind. I am being unkind, but I'm not trying to be unkind. Oh, my soul. Somebody told me, let's see, forgotten when I was this last day or two. Somebody going down to the country, I think it was Deacon last night, going down to the country of Argentina with some missionaries. Brother Pearson over here, your daughter and son-in-law going to Argentina, right? He told me about Buenos Aires, Argentina, the fourth largest city in the world, about 12 million people there. Hardly only four fundamental works in the entire town. I wonder sometimes if we ought not to just decide that we shouldn't live just very modestly. And just take the rest of it and send the gospel around this whole world, people dying without God. I was in Boston the other day, and I realized how few good soul-winning churches in Boston. And somehow we don't believe folks are going to burn in hell forever if they die without God. We don't believe that. Most of you don't believe that. And yet we're so concerned about keeping up with the Joneses. I wish you'd check and see how the Joneses are doing. They're miserable. Because the Joneses trying to keep up with the Johnsons, and the Johnsons trying to keep up with the Smiths. And sure as I said that, I made some Johnson, Smith, and Joneses mad tonight. But I just call them like I see them. But I'm simply saying, won't you try to keep up with Jesus? What difference does it make? A tent or a cottage? Why should I care? They're building a mansion for me over there. Now, can't you wait a few years? Most of us are not spirit-filled for the same reason the Israelites couldn't get in the land of Canaan. They were blocked because of their own carnality and a race built with their carnality. They're blocked because of their own emphasis on possessions and a race built because of that. Read the biographies sometimes of the great men of the past. Read George Mueller's biography sometimes. George Mueller said, and I read it, and I read it, when I cry when I read it, and when I read it, I say, oh God, make me like that. George Mueller said, I've come to the place in my life where there's nothing I care about. There's no glory I want. There's no possession I want. There's nothing I want but Him. A.B. Simpson got to that place and he said, once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now Himself alone. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus and Jesus is everything. We're raising an affluent fundamentalism in America. I'm in trouble again, but check the prices of our church activities. You've got to be rich to make it here. You haven't got a lot of money. You can't graduate. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm telling you the truth. I long for us to be spiritual. I hunger for us. Because that's what's keeping us from walking in the Spirit. Israelites came to the land of Canaan. They were stopped by a nation that they created because of a desire for possession. And a nation they created because of carnality. And a nation they created because of materialism. You're looking at a man that could live in luxury if I wanted to, and I do compared to most of the world. But my lifestyle is a very simple one. It's a very modest one. There's no way that I'd pay $25 for a ticket to watch Chicago Bears. Wouldn't do it. I read about them in the newspaper, and I'm a Chicago Bear fan. I'll pull for them, but you're not going to get me to spend $25 to go watch a bunch of guys try to kill each other. You can go to Deacon's meeting and get the same thing. Free. To our disgrace. I'm saying, there's no way I'm going to do that. I go to motels. I'll check into a motel tomorrow. The pastor will tell the hotel people at the restaurant there in the hotel, let Dr. Hiles sign the check, anything he wants. I could have a steak 3 times a day if I wanted to. I won't do it. I've eaten many a meal from the vending machine because I'm not going to waste God's money. You say, Brother Hiles, it's free. No, it's not free. Somebody's got to pay for it. Well, you don't have to pay for it. Well, it matters to me whether I pay for it or not. It matters to me. I'm saying, what's wrong with maybe some of us getting to the place to where all we really want is just to walk with Jesus? What's wrong with us maybe crusading for Jesus? Why couldn't we be satisfied with His presence? Why wouldn't that be enough? Why couldn't we be so wrapped up in Him we don't know what kind of chair we're sitting on? Why couldn't we be so wrapped up in Him we wouldn't know what kind of food we're eating? Why couldn't somehow this book become so great to us like a couple on a honeymoon? Just with Him. I cover this country. Fundamentalists are too affluent. We've got too many chandeliers. We've got too much carpet. Better off if we're back under the tent somewhere in our storefront building. Back yonder we were poor. We're not living spirit-filled lives. It isn't because of adultery. It isn't because of drunkenness. It's because of possessions, materialism, carnality, and then, of course, lust. Boy, I ask God to give me, above everything else, a pure mind. I've never looked, in my ministry of this church, not one lady has ever received a lustful look from me. I ask God to give me a pure mind. I mean, we're used to seeing people not married kissing on television. That's normal. Nothing wrong with that anymore. Well, there's something wrong with it as far as God's concerned. I don't care can't think of any now. What's some of those old programs? What's that old family program? Ozzie and Harriet. I don't care if it's Ozzie and Harriet. It's wrong for married folks around kissing each other. We take it for granted. That's religious. It is compared to the stuff you're watching now and you do boob tube. Why couldn't maybe we love the Bible as much as we love television? Why couldn't we enjoy the Bible so much that maybe we wouldn't even want to turn it on? What blocked the Israelites? What wild heathen nations blocked them from getting inside the promised land? Their own creation. They blocked themselves. Their own desire for possessions. Their own carnality. Their own materialism. Their own lust. You know what America needs and fundamental churches need? We need a cleansing of our minds to get lust from our minds. Purity of thought. I mean, we're just sex crazy. Sex crazy. So really it was Israel that kept Israel from the promised land. They made their enemies, and because of that they were their enemies. We today block ourselves from spirit-filled life for the same reasons of lust, materialism, possessions, and carnality. The truth is, the greatest enemy you've got is not that fellow hates you so much. The greatest enemy you've got is yourself. And the greatest enemy that I've got is not that fellow hates me so much. It's the greatest enemy I've got is myself. I'll say a few things about self. Self cannot be domesticated. I used to think that self improved at salvation. I was wrong. Salvation does nothing to help self. Christ didn't come to improve self. He came to replace self. Well, bless God, since I got saved, I haven't wanted to drink since I got saved. I don't believe you for a minute. I haven't had one desire for illicit sex. Used to be an adulterer. I haven't had one desire for illicit sex since I got saved. Don't believe you for a minute. Getting saved didn't change yourself at all. Just move somebody in there to live with yourself, that's all. God did not come to change yourself. God came to replace yourself. Self cannot be domesticated. I was watching how long ago it was, but I was down south watching a caterpillar walk across. And I got thinking about that caterpillar. It's going to become a butterfly one of these days. A miracle is going to take place. But you know, that caterpillar can't do a thing to become a butterfly. That's all the miracle working of God. You can buy that caterpillar, you can take that caterpillar down to the caterpillar hair salon. And give that caterpillar the best hairdo you ever saw in your life. It's still a caterpillar. You can make that caterpillar a promise not to walk across the street anymore. But it's still a caterpillar. You can make that caterpillar dress her up. It's a female caterpillar. And I couldn't tell, but I just guessed it was. Because it was sort of... But anyway, and dress her up and make her Miss Caterpillar of 1988. She's still a caterpillar. You need to quit trying to straighten up your flesh and try to get in the Spirit. It's not your job to straighten up the flesh. It's the Holy Spirit's job to straighten up the flesh. And you're doing the Holy Spirit's job. You can't domesticate self. Something else about self. Self cannot be domesticated, and self cannot be disciplined. You can't educate self to be improved. You can't change its conditions and improve it. Environment will not help. You can expose self to the highest morality, but self is still self. The secret to the whole Christian life is you going home, getting on your knees and saying, Holy Spirit of God, here I am and I want to walk with you and I want you and your book to mean everything in the world to me. And I yield to you and ask you to help me. And the Holy Spirit becomes the goal of your life and your best friend. And you walk with Him and love Him and follow Him. And He cleanses you and teaches you and guides you and leads you and comforts you and strengthens you and fills you and empowers you. And you walk in the Spirit. And the Bible says you do that and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But it does not say that you'll take away the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh will still be there, but you won't fulfill them because you're so busy talking to the Holy Spirit you don't even know the flesh is hanging around. You cannot discipline the flesh. You cannot domesticate the flesh. And you cannot dedicate the flesh. Flesh can teach a Sunday school class, but it's still flesh. Flesh can tithe, but it's still flesh. Flesh can read the Bible, but it's still flesh. Flesh can do God's work, but it's still flesh. Flesh can sing in the choir, it's still flesh. Flesh can become a deacon, it's still flesh. You can't dedicate it. What you need, instead of trying to improve yourself, is try to walk with Him who is the improver. Oh, for some people, get wrapped up in Him and love Him. We must deny the flesh, crucify the flesh, disown the flesh, and yield to the Holy Spirit and walk with Him. Those things that keep you tonight from your promised land, the spiritual life, same things that kept the Israelites years ago. Lust, Amalekites, carnality, Edomites, materialism, Moabites and Ammonites, possessions, money, Ishmaelites. Those people, self-made enemies. When Israel got to the promised land and tried to enter, she found herself stopping herself. I close with this, and I said it many times. I don't claim to be a good Christian. I do claim to be a sincere Christian. I don't claim sanctification. I do claim sincerity and an honest effort to walk with God and walk in the Spirit. I mean that. And I want that for you. I sometimes look back at the 29 years I spent here, nearly. I sometimes wonder what I've accomplished. Oh, I think hundreds of thousands of people will be in heaven because of this great church. But I sometimes wonder what I've accomplished in you. I look at people I've pastored all these 29 years, and I wonder if you're spiritual. Wonder how much the Holy Spirit means to you. I've got a lot of ground to conquer. I've not yet apprehended. But I wouldn't walk back to that door back there for the best suit in this county. And I wouldn't walk to the parking lot over there for the best car in this county. I just want one thing for the rest of the way. I just want to serve Him and love Him and walk with Him and please Him. And try to talk you into loving Him. The thing that's keeping you from a Spirit-filled life, most of us have gotten drunkenness behind us. Most of us have R-rated movies behind us. Most of the people in this room have rock music behind. I'm not talking basically to that crowd tonight. I'm talking to the crowd that's so wrapped up in things and money and pride. I wonder sometimes if the Holy Spirit doesn't say, doesn't anybody know I exist? Doesn't anybody know I exist? Ask you a question. Have you spoken to the Holy Spirit today? Have you spoken to Him? Have you even said hi to Him? Or good morning to Him? Or I love you? Have you spoken to the Holy Spirit today? Then how you expect to live a spiritual life? You don't talk to the one who's the Spirit. Don't sit there and look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. You wonder why you're not spiritual. Well, spiritual means holy spiritual. We've got a whole generation of fundamentalists. Can't get along with each other. Fuming, fussing, fighting like the heathen do. World's going to hell. Nobody much cares anymore. You know why? We're more concerned with the next church supper than the next church soul winning. I'm not against suppers. I ate one myself one time. Several of them. Not against church suppers. But we got a bunch of fundamental churches. Brother, you have a church-wide banquet and you can get hundreds out. You have a soul winning or bus campaign, you can't get dozens out. We're nothing, most of our fundamental churches are nothing more deep today than second-class country clubs. I don't want that. I want what George Mueller had when he said, I've come to the place. There's nothing I want but him. Nothing I want to do but his will. You say, would that make me sort of peculiar? You wouldn't know it. You'd think of the folks that weren't that way were peculiar. We had a guy from the Hammond Times a certain paper in town. Came down one time. I saw him and he said to me, this is a strange, I guess it was a he. Hair up here was a she and the hair here was a he, but it came in and it said to me, he said, this is a strange looking crowd I ever saw. And I said, it may come as a great shock to you, but you look as strange to us as we do to you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. What does it matter? I'll be in heaven in a few months, a few years, a few days, I don't know. So will you. What does it matter? A lot of you folks get to heaven, the first thing you're going to have to look up is get heaven's newspaper and find out what time favorite TV program's wrong. You have to get transferred to hell to watch them. That's where the crowd's going to be. Bless God. Here's the way you think it's going to be. Let me have this mic right here. Here's the way you think it's going to be. You think that all of a sudden, just because you get to heaven, you're going to get spiritual, but you're not. And a lot of you folks are going to be bored to death in heaven for the first 1,000 years. Because there's nothing they do up there that you enjoy. And you won't all of a sudden grow up when you get to heaven either. And here's where you think it's going to be. You think you're going to be sitting there watching the boob tube. Watching her kiss him and it kiss it. Watching Adam and Eve and then Adam and Steve, you know, and all those perverts from Hollywood that you are your heroes. And all of a sudden, here's what you think. You think you're going to have a heart attack and die and, oh, now you're in heaven. Well, glory, there's my Savior. Bless God, hallelujah. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to be sitting there watching Texas and Dallas and MASH and Squash and you're so popular and you've been sitting there watching them and all of a sudden you're going to have a heart attack. And you get to heaven and you're going to say, where is it? Where is the TV set? I don't want to miss anything. I guarantee you, brother. I'm in motel rooms all across this country and if I had a heart attack most of the places where I am, I wouldn't have to change my speed at all. I was in a motel room in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and 2 o'clock in the morning I was having a spell. Up on a bed, jumping up and down, my bare feet, my pajamas on the bed, praising God and clapping my hands and saying, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Somebody knocked on the door. And I said, who is it? He said, it's a man in the next room. What's going on in there? I said, I'm praising God. He said, "Can't you praise God in the morning and sleep tonight?" I said, "No, I'm going to sleep in the morning and praise God tonight." Suppose while I was praising God, I'd have had a heart attack and died. I wouldn't have to break stride. Yeah, you won't enjoy heaven. You're going to be bored to death. Well, what can I do? Won't be any movie houses there. Won't be any video movies. Won't be any Michael Jacksons. No Madonnas. What you going to do? Be bored to death. Jesus is going to walk up. You're going to say, "Who are you?" They're going to say, "Going to have Bible study." You'll say, "I won't get there early, so I can get on the back row." And I'm not against the back row. I just think if the front row is open, you ought to rather have it. Not against the back row. I just somehow hurt inside for this generation of Christian people. Fundamentalists. We're only fundamentalists in a few little rituals and a few little standards and a few little convictions. That's all we're fundamentalists. The average person who goes to a fundamental church in America doesn't pray 5 minutes a day, doesn't spend 10 minutes a day in that book, doesn't say one word to the Holy Spirit all day long, is more concerned about feeding his face than feeding his soul and his spirit. That's what's blocking us in the spirit-filled life. Same thing that blocked the Israelites. Possessions that Abraham wanted. Carnality of an Esau. Materialism of a Lot. The lust of an Amalek. Why don't you, sometime before you die, spend one day in the Spirit? Won't you, sometime before you die, just spend a whole day with Jesus? Spend a whole day in the book.